Boker Tov, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. We are now in Ksubot Daf Yod Gimel Amud Aleph at the second Mishnah on the page, which is really two Mishnayot. It's cases three and four of the four cases in which Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel disagree about the Ne'amanut. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer in every case say Ne'amanut. The first case was where she claims she admits that there was Bia, but that it was before the betrothal. After the betrothal. And the second case was where she claimed Nukat Eitz. Third case, Ra'u Medaberet Imachad. The people saw her talking to some guy. Now, this is not a betrothed woman. This is a single woman. And we don't know what Medaberet means yet. It clearly doesn't mean just talking. It's something more than that. Later on, they went and asked her who was the guy. And she says the guy is a kohen. Doesn't have to be a kohen, but the main thing is that he's kosher. He's not a mamzer or a natin or a obed kochav or anybody else that if she had bia with him would invalidate her from marrying a kohen. That's the critical issue. As usual, I don't mean that in the cavalier sense, meaning to follow the pattern. We don't rely on her testimony. We assume her to be Be'ula. We assume that she had relations, and the relations this guy she's talking about really is not a Mesil Kuhuna, somebody if you have Be'ula with him, you could still marry Kohen. Rather, she's been invalidated until she could prove differently. Now, Haitamu Uberet. Now, the fourth case. She is pregnant, which means now there's no question she had Be'ula. Said, who's the kid? And she says, Me'ish Ploni Mekoinu. Again, she says, the father is somebody who is appropriate. Rabbi Shua says, the assumption is that the father is somebody who invalidates her. By the way, that invalidates her and also, of course, invalidates the child, if it's a daughter, from marrying Kohanim. Achtavi Raya Lidvareha. Until she can prove. Now, the Gemara immediately addresses the issue in the third case, meaning the first part of the Mishnah, of the word medaberet. My medaberet. We have machloket, and you see on the page, it's laid out that way. Ze'iri amar nistera. It means people saw her in seclusion. It's a nice way of saying seclusion. Ravasi amar nivala. Ravasi says, no, people actually saw her having relations with a guy. So bishlam al ziri hanu dekana medaberet. According to Ziri, I understand why it says medaberet, because she was talking to him in seclusion. They saw her talking to a guy. Ravasi, my medaberet. But according to Ravasi, why does it say medaberet? After all, that's a far cry from having relations. The answer is leishna malia. It's a euphemism. Kidichtiv achal achla umachatafia v'amra lo fa'alti avin. She eats, and then she says, I've done nothing wrong. And in the context there in Mishlei, towards the end of Mishlei, it's clearly talking about a woman who is guilty of infidelity. But it says she eats. In other words, it's a nice way of saying that she had relations. Good. So we see that already in Tanakh, on occasion when we're talking about relationships, especially ones that are inappropriate, like the ones in our Mishnah. Even according to Rabbi Gamliel, we don't like that this girl is having relations without being married. The question is, what's her status? So the text will use a euphemism. Now, Bishlamada Ze'iri, again, Ze'iri's approach is easier for us to understand, because Heinrich Tani Tarti, then I understand why we have the case 3 and 4, and now you understand why the editors put these Mishnah together. Because medaberet umeoberet. Because medaberet is testimony that she was in seclusion with a guy, and moberet is where we have clear testimony that she had relations with a guy. Ravasi tarti lamali, but according to Ravasi, what do we need two mishnayot for? After all, it's the same case. Because according to Ravasi, medaberet is that she had bia, and moberet is she had bia. So, chad al hachshir ba, v'chad al hachshir b'vita. They're both there, really for Rabbi Gamliel's purposes. But Rabbi Yeshua would be, according to Rasi, would just say it once. But according to Rabbi Gamliel, who says she's kosher, we want to have two Mishnayot to say, not only is she kosher, but also her daughter is kosher, which we will see on Amud Bet is a machloket. Hanechal mandamar l'divar machshir ba machshir b'vita, that works according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Rabbi Gamliel, who says she's okay, also says the daughter's okay. Mandamar l'divar machshir ba posel b'vita, but according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that even Rabbi Gamliel, who says she's kosher, would still say the daughter cannot marry a Kohen. So, Ma'ikal, remember, how will Ravasi fit with that? The answer is very simple. Ravasi Sabar, Kamandam, Aladivir, Machshaba, Machshabavita. Ravasi holds like Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Rabbi Gamliel, who says she's kosher, also says the daughter's kosher, and therefore we have two cases of testimony that she had Bia, and one of them is there to tell us Rabbi Gamliel says she's kosher, and the other is to say that Rabbi Gamliel testifies that the child is kosher. Now, Amar Rav Papa L'Abaye, Now we're going to see if Ze'iri, who so far has been, so we say, the lead, the more favored opinion in the discussion, you know, as Ravasi is the one who's been attacked. Papa Labai, Ze'iri, Dalman, Medaberet Nistara. Remember, Shua, Lo Mehemna. Let's think about it. Ze'iri says that Medaberet is that she was in seclusion. And remember, Rabbi Shua's position on this is that she's Asura. She cannot marry a Kohen. We don't believe her. We believe that the fellow was a Natin or Mamzer. Rav said that you give mako to somebody for having inappropriate yichud. This is a married woman who has inappropriate yichud, like her husband's out of the city and she's alone with another man. So we give her makot for that inappropriate behavior, but ain't osrin al yichud. But we do not prohibit her to her husband. In other words, we do not assume relations just because people were in seclusion. So why would Rabbi Yeshua say, according to Ze'iri, Medaberet, it's just because she was in seclusion, why would Rabbi Yeshua say this girl is now Asura Lakuna? So Leman Loka Rabbi Yeshua, so should we say that Rav's statement that Ein Osrin al Yichud does not comport with Rabbi Yeshua? No, feel the time Rabbi Yeshua, even Rabbi Yeshua would agree with that. Ma'ala Asubi Yuchsin. Remember, we're not talking about the same case. The case Rav's talking about is a married woman. She's already married, and her husband was out of town, and she is alone with another man. So Rav said, we can administer some baiting and discretionary punishment, but we cannot forbid her to her husband because we don't assume that she had relations. But now we're talking about a girl who's unmarried. The question is, could she marry a Kohen? So ma'alas of yuchsin. We have a higher threshold for marrying into the kahuna, and that is that we demand that she be absolutely spotless. Okay? Meitave, right? We have a parallel brayta, where people saw that she went privately into a place of seclusion, Ola Churva, or into an old ruined building. Then when she came out, they asked, what was the guy? Kohen Ben Achia Abahu, he's a Kohen, he's my uncle, he's a mutter, okay? Exactly like our Mishnah, and the same opinions, except the case is different. In our Mishnah, it said, Medaberet. Here it said, she went into seclusion, and then or into a churva, which is another form of seclusion. So now, according to Ze'iri, I understand why there's two things, because the Ze'iri reads that seter and churva really mean that. They start going to seclusion or into a churva, so the two cases are not the same, and therefore I understand why I have them both. The seter to the churva. But according to Rasi, who says these are all euphemisms for the witnesses actually seeing them having relations, why do you say seter and churva? I mean, as long as they saw her in having relations, it's all one thing. The answer is charek tani, l'seter l'churva. Really, the original text should read, in this formulation, not two different things, but one. L'seter of a churva, meaning in the hidden places in the ruins. Ha'vaha l'seter l'churva tani, but the text doesn't say that. The text says two things, seter or churva. So we say, okay, we accept that, and we answer for Ravasi as follows. Achara l'churva d'mata, v'achara l'churva d'davra. In other words, seter will mean a hidden place, and a churva may refer, and we don't know which is which, it doesn't really matter, one of them will refer to ruins that are urban ruins, we would say in a city, and one's out in the middle of nowhere. Utsriche, we need them both. Why? We need them both to say that in both cases, Rabbi Gamliel says we believe her, and Rishua says we don't. Diashman the churva d'mata, if we only had one, we would assume that that is the churva in a city. We would think Rabbi Gamliel says she's kosher. Why? Mishum derog sherim etzlah. Because most of the people in the town are Jewish. In the times of the Gemara, often Jews lived in exclusively Jewish towns or areas. And the people in town are Jewish. And therefore, they are Messiah and the Kahuna. They're not Mamzerim, they're not Netinim, they're not Goyim, etc. And therefore, we would follow the Rove and say, if she had relations with somebody, we would assume it's from a member of the majority of the group. We're going to get into that in the next podcast at the end of the parak. And therefore, she's mutter. However, but a churva that's out in the middle of nowhere, the rope sulin it's like is out there. All sorts of people live. I might think Rabbi Gamliel agrees with Rabbi Yeshua that since most of the people there, if she had relations with a member of the majority, it would invalidate her. That perhaps indeed that's the case. Therefore, I need to teach me that Rabbi Gamliel also sees her as kosher, even if it was in a churva outside. We just flip it. If we only said the case of the rural one, say, yeah, Rabbi Yeshua says she's possible because most of the people out there, if she had relations with a member of the majority, would invalidate her, but not in the city. Therefore, we need to teach both. All right, good. Now, Meitibah, we have a challenge to this whole thing. Zue Ducha Ishak Sheirola. It was really a challenge to... we'll see how it plays out as a challenge. Meitibah. Zue Dut Shahishak Sheirola. Right? This testimony... this is obviously among the male speaking. This is testimony for which a woman is kosher. And she says that who the guy was that she was with. Shua Mer Einan Emenet. And Meshua says not. That we know. That's what we've been seeing throughout this parak. Now, I'm going to Meshua. We have an expansion on it where Meshua presents an argument. Iyatem Modim, don't you, Rav Gamliel Lozer, agree. Meshvuya Shnishbet V'yesh La'idim Shnishbet. A woman who was captured by pagans. She was captured by Akum. And we have testimony that she was taken as a captive. V'yomer Torah, and she says, I was never touched. Shana and Amenet, don't we agree that we don't believe her? We'll get into this towards the end of the second parak. Amrulo Aval. So they said, yes, we agree, but it's not the same. My fresh has been Zu Lazu. Lazu Yeshedim. That woman who was captured has witnesses. Nevertheless, we had saw people go in. Well, Lazu Ain Laidim. But this woman went into seclusion. We don't have any witnesses to what happened. So Yeshua answers back, and he's referring to case 4, where she's pregnant. So she also has witnesses. Look at it, her stomach. She's obviously had relations. Literally, her stomach's between her teeth. In other words, her stomach is bulging out. Amrulo, roll of the kochavim prutzim barayotem. So they answered back to Yeshua that most of the pagans, at least pagans who take people captive, are licentious. And therefore, she was taken captive by a situation where a majority of the cases are going to be that she is taken advantage of. Amalehen, Rav Yeshua answer, ain't up a tropos l'arayot. Rav Yeshua said, there is no guarantor for arayot. Two people alone, doesn't matter what normally people do. When two people alone, anything can happen. Right? Now, b'medvar mamurim, what's the end of this braita? Be'idut isha begufa. It's only about her own, testifying about herself. Be'idut isha bevita divrei hakol havlad shtuki. But as far as the daughter goes, everybody agrees that the kid is a shtuki, which we assume means the kid is pasul. We'll see that's not so simple. That's the braita. So let's figure out what's happening. Let's analyze it. Ma'ikam alu, ma'ikam ahadulei. What was he saying to them about Robot Zikhavim? What was he saying to them about the Shvuya? What were they saying back about the woman having her stomach between her teeth? What were they saying back to him about Robot Zikhavim? What was behind these statements? So ha'ikam alu, this is what they said to him when he brought the proof from the Shvuya. Hey, Shavtan alu Moberet, you have proven to us your position about the pregnant one, because yes, she has testimony. What are you going to tell us about the third case, where in the Medaberet case, where there's no witnesses? Which, by the way, seems to prove Zeiri. Because if Medaberet means we have testimony she had relations, again, we're back to square one, in Rav Asi's position, we're back to square one that is no different than Medaberet. And in which case, in this reconstruction, why are the rabbis saying, you answered us about case 4 but not case 3, if 4 and 3 are basically the same? So, Malahem, Medaberet Hainu Shriya. Right? So his answer to them is that Medaberet is the same thing as a Shvuya. Amrulo, Shani Shvuya, Durov the Kohab, puts him on. And their answer was, no, a Shvuya is different because, after all, most of the captors are going to be licentious. Aman and Apotropos La Rayot. His answer back is, there is no guarantor for a Rayot. Right? Amrulam Hanami, Kemedi Statar, and Apotropos La Rayot. Sorry. He said back, yes, once she was in seclusion, so an apotropos l'arayot. There's no guarantor that they didn't do anything. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that the entire framework of this discussion, if our reconstitution is accurate, relates to Medaberet as somebody that we only know went into seclusion, but not that we have testimony that she had relations. Tani miat tarte, Medaberet u'Muberet. So you see that we have the Mishnah 3, the case 3 and case 4 dealt with separately. And on separate terms, and the rabbi is saying, we understand your position about Mubarak. We don't agree. We accept the understand position. We don't understand your position on Mubarak. And he comes back. We see they dealt with differently. Tiyufta Rav Asi, Tiyufta. We see that Rav Asi has been refuted. And indeed, QED, he has been refuted. Quite erat demonstrandum. We have demonstrated that Rav Asi's position is inaccurate to say that Mubarak means we have testimony to her having had Bia. Rather, we have testimony of the fact that she went into seclusion, and therefore it's a different case. Now, the typical the hatam rope psulin itzla. Wait a second. Why don't we give a different distinction? In other words, in the challenge between Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim, they could have found a different distinction and said your analogy from Shvuya is no good, because in your analogy from Shvuya, you're dealing with a case where most of the people that she's with, if she had bia with a member of the majority, it would invalidate her because she's among these non-Jewish captors. As opposed to here, where the girls in town, where most of the men are Jewish, all the men are Jewish, most of them, and most of them are not Mizrahim. So why don't you draw that distinction? The answer is Rishuv and Levi. This supports Rishuv and Levi's assessment of the whole second half of the parak. The one who says kosher meaning Rabbi Gamliel or Belazar says she's kosher even if most of the people are psuling around. The divrei posel afila barog shirim. And according to Meshua, who says she's pasul even if most of the people around are kshirim, which means neither of them consider what the surrounding population, the nature and the makeup of the surrounding population. This is according to Meshua and Levi, and so therefore the rabbis in that reconstruction of the dialogue with Rabbi Yoshua, with Rabbi Yeshua, could not have said, oh, that's a bad analogy, because in the case of the Shvui, Rob Sulin, and here it's Rob Sharin, because nobody considers that to be a significant factor. So the only thing that's significant is the issue of testimony. All right. Now, parenthetically, and this is something that we mentioned in the previous Amud, Amar Rav Yochanan, the Divra Machshir Ba Machshir Bevitah. Rav Yochanan, remember I mentioned, says that Rabbi Gamliel, who says she's kosher, also is Machshir the kid. That's in case four, where she's pregnant. And Gamliel says she's ne'emenet, meaning she's ne'emenet that the guy was a kohen, and the kid, therefore, is the daughter is kosher lekuhuna, and she could marry a kohen. Right, and he says that Rabbi Shua says that if she's posel, she says also is the daughter's posel. Right, Rabbi Lazar meladivra machshir ba posel bevita. Rabbi Lazar says no, even Gamliel, who says she's kshera, still the daughter cannot is assumed to be sulan, cannot marry to the kuhuna. Amar Rava, my time to Rabbi Lazar. So why does Rabbi Lazar distinguish and say Rabbi Gamliel, who says she's kosher, still says the daughter is not? The answer is very simple. We operate with a chazaka. This girl, who is the focus of all these Mishnayot, started out her life as a chazaka kashrut, lived all her life with the assumption of kashrut. We have no reason to challenge that. And now you're trying to challenge the chazaka. You need proof to challenge the chazaka. You can't just say it because she was in seclusion. That her chazaka had been damaged. You have to have proof. However, the one who was born, never had chazaka kashrut. She was born into this status of question. Now, Eitrei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yochanan. So now Rabbi Elazar challenges Rabbi Yochanan to try to demonstrate that even Rabbi Gamliel agrees that the daughter who's born is pasul. Because back in the Brayta we just read, it said, Mamedva, Mamorim, Kriyan, Be'edut Isha Begufa, only about herself. Well, Edut Isha Bevita. But a woman's testimony about her daughter, Divra Kol Vlad Shtuki, everybody agrees that Vlad is a Shtuki. Now, remember I said, we think Shtuki means Psula, but not so clear. My love Shtuki Apostle doesn't mean Shtuki, which literally means is silence. They don't have anything to say, they have no claims. That the Apostle, oh, Shtuki Vakosher. No, it's Shtuki, meaning they're Shtuki because we don't know who the father is, and therefore they don't have an inheritance, they don't have a family connection, but she's still Ksheira. Mika Shtuki Vakosher, since when do you have that? So you recall, just a little while ago in Yivamot, we had it. In Kereshmuel, the Rashmuel, Asarak Kohanim Modin, you have 10 Kohanim standing there. Piresh Achamim Abal, and one of them, we don't know which one, left the group and had relations with a girl somewhere, and she became pregnant. Havlad Shtuki, the kids are Shtuki. And my Shtuki, what do we say there? If you want to say that we don't allow him to inherit, well, obviously not, because Pshitim, we don't know who the father is. If it's a boy, we don't let him operate as a Kohen. In Pinchas is given the bracha that he and his children after him will have brit kunat olam. Mishmi is Zaro Miyuchas Acharav, only Kohanim who that we can know tell who their children are. That's Azashen Zaro Miyuchas Acharav, as opposed to this kid who we don't know who his father is. He's not Zaro Miyuchas, which means he's called a Shtuki, but Shtuki means he's still kosher. He's just Shtuki, meaning we don't let him operate and do avodah. We have that whole discussion, Yivamot, that if there's two different Kohanim, and we don't know which one that the father is because she didn't wait the requisite 3 months, and they're both Kohanim, then the kid goes up for both Mishmarot, and if they're the same Mishmar, he and the same Beit Av, he gets one Chelek, etc. Right? Hahu Arus Varus Sato Da'ato the coming of Yosef. So now we have a story that relates to this. A betrothed couple came to Rav Yosef, he Amar Minei, she was pregnant, and she said, it's his. Ru Amar Im Minei. And he said, yes, it is mine. So Rav Yosef, for my nechushpas, Rav Yosef says there's nothing to discuss it. Chadad ha-hakamona. First of all, the guy admits it's his, so therefore there's no reason to think that this girl was had znut or anything else. The Onam, Rav Yonah Mashwal, Rav Gamliel. Second of all, Rav Gamliel said, ne'menet. and we rule like Rabbi Gamliel. However, is it Rabbi Gamliel really said Ne'emanet about this? Rabbi Gamliel said Ne'emanet about a case where a girl who was unmarried had beer with somebody and she's pregnant, or she went into seclusion and she makes her claims, or where a girl is married and her claims are either about the nature of her lack of betulim, mukadets, or about the time that she had bia, and she claims that it was a rape that happened afterwards. But it's never about a case where she's walking and pregnant and her claim is it's from the guy. So let's see. I'm going to buy a haki lo modem yeshur gamliel. Well, Rav Yosef, you said two things. You said, first of all, the guy admitted it. And even if the guy didn't admit it, we'd still would not reckon it being as untoward because we're like Rabbi Gamliel. So Baya says, since when would Rabbi Gamliel alone be enough? V'amar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda. It's the same Shmuel. It's Halacha Rav Yehuda. He said to his student Rav Yehuda, Shinana, Halacha Rabbi Gamliel. Rav Shinana is his pet name for Rav Yehuda, Sharpie. He said, Halacha Gamliel, v'adol tamid uvda adika rov k'sher netzlah. He said, Halacha Rabbi Gamliel, but you should not rule that way until most of the people around are rov k'sherin, which we said Rabbi Gamliel himself didn't demand. Shmuel said, I'm adding that demand. V'acharov psula netzlah, and because this girl's betrothed, everybody in the world is puzzled to her, because anybody that she had relations with would invalidate her, because she's already betrothed. She's a married woman. So Rav Yosef turns to Abayah and says, v'litameach tik shilachi gufa. He said, why don't you ask internally on the statement? Halacha about lotavid uvda? Shmuel, you think really said Rav Yehuda, that's the halacha, but don't do it? How do we answer it? We answer that l'chatchila, you shouldn't rule that way until rov k'sherin. But b'diavad, halacha is kram gamliel, without the rov k'sherin. V'hanami k'diavad dami, and this, because this case, they're already betrothed, she's already pregnant, it's, you can't get more b'diavad than that. We're not saying l'chatchila, can she marry in, she's already betrothed. B'diavad, she's already pregnant. What's her status? What's the status of the child? So, b'diavad, we'll rely on Rabbi Gamliel, even if we're rov psula netzlah. Now, Rami le Abaye le Rava. Abaye raised another problem. Umiyam Rabbi Yeshua in the Ne'emanet. Since when does Rabbi Yeshua say that your chazaka is not good enough? Remember, the woman in our case has a chesket kashrut. And we say that even though what she says fits the chazaka, because she says the guy I was with was kosher, we still don't believe her. Since when does Rabbi Yeshua say that? Ramini, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, Almanati Sa. So Rabbi Shua is the key player for us. He says, Almanati Sa, literally a widow of a mix. Isa is like a dough, and it's mixed. But the case here is Almanat Safek. We'll see at the end of today's podcast, this podcast, what Almanati Sa exactly is. It's a Machloka Tanaim and two versions of Rameir, what it is. But Almanati Sa is some sort of a widow from a mixed situation in which she's a widow of a fellow who was a Kohen who had some sort of a cloud behind him, a safek about whether he was a kosher Kohen or halal. Right, so we said she k'shera l'kohuna. They testified that such a woman, after her husband dies, even though she had relations with him, which if he really was a halal would make her a halalan, she could marry Kohanim, but she may marry Kohanim. So you see that Rabbi Yeshua says that her previous chazak of being kosher is not shaken by that case. So now, what does Rav answer? Amalei hachiyashta, let's examine. Hatam isha nisei podeke v'nisei. There, we're talking about who she was married to. She was married to a guy. We know that when a woman married, she was very carefully. So we assume that she checked it out and found there was no safek. Hacha isha mezanav odeke mezanav. And here we're talking about a woman who just slept around. A woman isn't that careful about that. So I'm a Rav, Rabbi Shua. So then Rav turns around and says, to Rabbi Shua kasha. You asked a question about Rabbi Shua as a contradiction. You don't have a problem with Rabbi Gamliel from our Mishnah to the same issue of Almanat Isa? Look at a little further, Vaktani Seifa. In the Seifa of that statement about Almanat Isa, Rabbi Gamliel, kibalnu enutchem. Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Mateira, we accept your testimony. What can we do? Sharei Gazar, Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shloshim Beit Din Alkach. Yochanan ben Zakkai said, you can never have a setting of a Beit Din to rule on such a case, to allow Almanat Isa. Why? Shakonim Shomim Lachem Nuachek, below the Karev. The Kohanim won't accept it. They'll only accept it if you raise the bar for marrying in, but not if you lower the bar. If you distance, but not don't bring close. Which means the Rabbi Gamliel is saying we don't believe her. Should we say in practice we don't believe her? And in our Mishnah we do. Ela Amar Rava, so Rava gives the solution. The Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel Lokasha. You know why there's no difference? You know there's no contradiction? Hatam Bari, in all four of our cases that Rabbi Gamliel says is we believe her, where she says that the ones was tachtav, or she says mukad eitz, or she says ishtone coin, she was in seclusion with her, or Ishpan Mekoyin was is the father of that child. Why do we believe her? Because Bari. She is claiming she knows what she's talking about. In Almanat Yisrael, there's no Bari. She's married to a guy who, before she even came on the scene, there was a cloud of Safek. Look at Rashi. The critical Rashi is Almanat Yisrael. There's two Rashis. There's Almanat Yisrael on our Amud, and there's at the very end of the Amud, Trace Fakir, where he quotes the commentary of Yosef Tuv Elam. He gives another explanation, which he seems to favor and seems to make it a little bit easier, that her husband was a child of a Safek Ben Grusha, was a child of a Safek Grusha, etc., and it makes it into a Safek Sveika. However, for our concerns, the main issue is as follows. Rabbi Gamliel says, in our case, we believe her because it's Bari. And now, in the case of Almanah, she's a Shema. She can't testify as to what happened. She wasn't around when her mother-in-law got divorced or whatever. Rabbi Shua, not an Okasha. Now we can solve Rabbi Shua. It's not about that a woman's careful when she marries, not careful when she sleeps around, but it's a much more legalistic formulation. Hatam chad sveika hachatre sveiki. In our Mishnah, every one of our Mishnayot is one suffix. Everybody agrees she was the first case. Everybody agrees that she had relations, was it before or after? Everybody agrees that she's not a betulazit, mukareitz, or drusadish. Everybody agrees she went into seclusion, she had bia or not. Everybody agrees she's pregnant, is the guy kosher or not? One suffix. So one suffix, we go lachumra. Right? Hacha treis feiki. In the case of Almanat Yisrael, as you see in those Rashis, it's a sfeik sfeika. And what's the end result of this? Hilkach, look at the formulation. Rabbi Gamliel alim le bari. Rabbi Gamliel considers a tanat bari, which means I am sure, a claim that I am sure, to be so strong, even if there's one safek, it gets blown away by the bari. And therefore, in all four of our cases, Rabbi Gamliel says, and she says, I know the guy was kosher, I know that I was mukaritz, whatever it may be, we believe her even though there's only one safek. The kilei shema, and an unsure claim, is so weak, I feel if it's fake fake on my apostle, even if there's a fake fake, he invalidates, like Almanat Yisrael. She can't claim with surety that she's okay, and therefore, even though it's a fake fake, she's pasul. Rabbi Shua sees that the main determinant is not the strength of the claim, but the measure of the doubt. And that is, Alim Lechad Sveika, once a fake is so strong for him, that feel if it's fake on my apostle, even if she claims certainty against the Safek, was this guy kosher or not? She says, I know it's kosher. He doesn't believe her. The kill is fake sveika, but a fake sveika is so light, even if she can only claim maybe, like Almanat Yisrael, he says kosher. So you see the formulation when Gamliel comes down to saying that the main issue is the strength of her conviction in her claim. And Rabbi Shua says that the main issue is the measure of doubt. Is it a sofek or sfeik sveika? And of course, there's much, much, much Torah to talk about on the issue of sofek and sfeik sveika. The famous Kutras HaSfeikot, and there's, of course, the very significant piece of the Shach at the end of Hilchot HaRuvot, and of course, there's the Shev Shmata. Much, much to be discussed about this, but not within this form. Tana Rabbanan, Ezo Almanat Yisrael. So this is at the end of our piece today. We want to just tie up the loose ends of the Almanat Yisrael, which is really not our topic, but you mentioned the Almanat Yisrael that Rabbi Shua accepted and Gamliel didn't. What is an Almanat Yisrael? We just said an Almanat from some mix. So the first opinion is, Kol she'en ba lo mishum mamzerut, v'lo mishum netinut, v'lo mishum avdei malachim. Where there's no safek whatsoever that the husband was a mamzer, or a natin, or an eved. Right? In other words, and we'll see what this means, Amar Rabbi Meir, Shamati, Meir has a different opinion, says, Shamati, yeah, that's a tradition, Kol she'en ba achad mikol eilu misin lekuna. If you don't have any of these claims, then she can marry into Kuhuna, which sounds like the same as the Tanakama, so let's see what the difference is. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Meir, now we have another version of Rabbi Meir. He says, V'chein Rabbi Shimon Nasir, Rabbi Dvarav, and we have another Tana supporting this. Ezo Manat Yisa, Kol Shinitim Abba Safek Halal. Anywhere where there's a possibility of the guy being a halal, that is an Manat Yisa. Why? Makiwin Yisrael Mamzerim Shimonam. Because Am Yisrael always knows who the Mamzerim are. There could be no safek. If there was a mamzer there, we know. And if not, we don't have such a surety, then we know it's not a mamzer. Ve'im akir chalal shimin chalal, which is a lighter issue, and we'll see why in a minute, they're not so aware of. And therefore, it's possible this guy's a halal. We didn't know, so it's a safek. So anytime that people start raising issues, or there's a rumor, or there's a consideration that maybe her husband was a halal, that's almanat yisa. If it's a mamzer, that's not almanat yisa. We know she's kosher, because if it really was a mamzer, we would know. Now, Amar Mar, let's examine this. So that's Tanakama. Ha halal kosher, which means that if the husband was perhaps a halal, she's kosher. She's not almanat isa anymore. So mashlahanach, so why are these things no good and halal is okay? The answer is d'oraita. Mamzer is d'oraita, natin, not so much. That's a discussion we'll get into in the beginning of the third parak. Halal nami d'oraita. Halal is also an isa d'oraita. Isha zonam halal lo ikachu. Lo yichalal zara b'amad. The two, Amar Rabbi Meir, shamati kol she'in ba'acha mikol elu misi'in l'kuna. Right? We have Rabbi Meir commenting at the very top of the Amud, saying, I heard a tradition that if we don't have any of this, mamzer natin of demalachim, they can marry kahuna. And I asked, Hainu Tanakama, that's the same as Tanakama. Where's the difference? The two, Rishuman Elazar and Mishumar Meir, and then we have the second version of Meir, Shuman Elazar, Safek Halal, he says, only if there's a Safek Halal, that's the only time it's there. Because Am Yisrael knows who the mamzerim are, so a rumor of that is not enough, because we would know who it was, but they're not so familiar with the Chalalim, and therefore, that's where we would call her on Amatisa. V'amart Reisha Chalal Kasher. But wait a second, in the Reisha, you said that it's only Mamzerim, Netinim, and Avdei Malachim that are problems. So what is it? If there's a rumor of a Chalal, is it no good, or is it okay? Is it Safek, or is it okay? So the answer is, Amar Rav Yochanan Mamzer Tzoveach Chalal Shoteki Kevinayu. What's the difference between the two versions of Rav Meir? If you call him a mamzer and he yells back, I'm not. But if you call him a chalal and he says nothing, that's where the difference is. Let's see. Tana kama savar, the first Tana in our Mishnah before our mayor says, kol psul dekari le v'shatik pasul. Anytime you call him a certain psul and he doesn't say anything, he's pasul because he's too ashamed to cry back because he knows it's true. You say he's a mamzer, he's a nothing, whatever it is, he doesn't respond because he knows it's true. And therefore it's not isa, that's fadak. Rafi kama tana kama, this is what Tana kama said. And halal is in there evidently, which means any time that we say any of these things to the guy and the guy says no, he doesn't just say silently, he says no, then it's not then it's an almanatisa, but if he's silent, then we assume that it's really true and it's no longer a safek. That's Tanakama. The Kamalir Meir, what did Meir say back? Hanachuna kapasale bekahal. These things are posel and bekahal. Well, she took halal, but if you call him a halal and he says nothing, then he's kosher. Why? Vahadashatik, why is he silent? He says, I don't care, call me a halal, don't call me a halal, I can marry a Jewish woman, what do I care? In other words, he's not responding, not because he's admitting that you caught me, but he's not responding, he's too embarrassed, he's not responding because he doesn't care. That's what Meir. The Kamala of Shimon Elazar of the Tanakam of Meir. And so Shimon Elazar turns to the student who was repeating Meir's words and says, Ish me'alach demavshar Meir b'shtika, if you heard that Meir says, and the guy's silent, it's kosher, lo dekari le'chalal v'shatik. It's not when they call him a halal and he's quiet. Lo dekari le'mamzer v'shatik. It's the opposite. When they call him a mamzer and he's quiet, then he's machshir. Why the shatik? Why is he silent when they call him a mamzer? Not because he's admitting, yeah, I'm a mamzer, I can't respond. So a mamzer called Eli because he knows, everybody knows who a mamzer is. Nobody ever called me a mamzer before. And this guy is just nuts, and therefore he says nothing. A mamzer at Sovech, but if he responds by yelling back, halal she'll take, but when they call him a halal, he says nothing. Pasul, then he's pasul, why? Hi to Ishtik, why is he quiet? Savar, as we say, leave wildlife alone. Mistayin alamafka and mikal. You know what, they're calling me a halal, I won't say anything, because at least they're not calling me a mamzer, at least I can marry a Jewish girl. Remember, a mamzer cannot marry a Jewish girl. A halal can. But he's Mechalal the girl from marrying Kohanim. It's a much lighter exclusion. Tani Chara, so now we have one version. Miyosi remember, she took Mamzer Kasher, she took Chalal Pasul. So Miyosi says that if you call the Mamzer and he's quiet, he's Kasher. You call him a Chalal and he's quiet, he's Pasul. Tani Idach, she took Chalal Kasher, she took Mamzer Pasul. And we have an opposite version. So Lo Kasher, that's easy. Hatan Akamalu Rameir, Hashem Alazar Alid Rameir. It's two versions of Rameir. And by the way, that's where Rabbi Yochanan said she took Mamzer Tzoveach, which Chalal shall take, Ike Minayu. He's distinguishing between the two versions of Reb Meir. Reb Meir taught what he taught. We have the Tanakama of Reb Meir, who's the second voice in that Braita. And then we have Shimon Elazar and Shimon Asya as the third voice in the Braita, representing another version of Reb Meir, and that's where the distinction is. Okay, everybody should have a wonderful day. And Mirtzah Hashem, in the next podcast, we will complete the parak.